Today, the housing Hunger Games moves centre stage. Hello again, it's Martin North from Digital Finance Analytics. Well, this post covering finance and property news. Well, the political games are now in full swing ahead of the RBA's rate call on Tuesday. And if they do cut, many are calling that as the starting gun for the election, which must be run before May the 17th. And so no surprise then to see that housing was in the spotlight again over the weekend, as Housing Minister Claire O'Neill announced that Labour would ban foreign investors from buying established homes for the next 2 years, replicating the promise made by opposition leader Peter Dutton in his budget reply speech from last May. The Housing Minister said the government had to orientate all of its efforts into securing home ownership for more young Australians. Nice dog whistle right there. As a result, prospective home buyers will face less competition from overseas, as under the government's plan, foreign investors, including temporary residents, such as international students and foreign-owned companies, will be unable to purchase an established dwelling in Australia from April the 1st, 2025, until March the 31st, 2027. The restriction will then be reviewed to determine whether it should be extended. Foreign investors are currently barred from buying existing homes, but are allowed exemptions for some circumstances, like moving to Australia for work or study. And they can still purchase new dwellings to encourage the supply of housing. A carve-out will also be provided for workers on a Pacific visa scheme. The policy includes an exemption also for the developments of at least 20 properties. The government will also crack down on land banking by forcing foreign investors who purchase vacant land to develop it within a reasonable time frame. The decision to follow the coalition's housing policy highlights Labour's desire to avoid political fights about housing, with the upcoming election expected to be dominated by debates on which party can best manage the housing crisis. O'Neill on Sunday said the government had been looking at the move for a long time, calling it good public policy. And she said that the ban would likely free up around 1,800 properties per year for local buyers. Labour's announcement contradicts criticism of Dutton's policy when it was unveiled last year. At that time, Treasurer Jim Chalmers dismissed the plan as not thought through. Chalmers, though, did make changes in February last year to triple foreign investment fees for the purchase of established homes and to double the vacancy fees for dwellings left empty. Asked whether the announcement copied Dutton's pledge, O'Neill argued that when the coalition was in government, they did nothing about the housing crisis. "I really don't care about the politics of this," she said. "Everything we do on housing is about getting more Australians into their own homes, and this change will play a part in that." Dutton said it was interesting that the Treasurer didn't stand up with O'Neill to make the announcement, given that he'd bagged the policy when he announced it. Figures from the Foreign Investment Review Board shows that foreign buyers spent about $4.9 billion in 2022-23. Established dwellings accounted for about one-third of the total, purchasing 5,360 pieces of residential real estate. But the restriction, which replicates the policy announced by the coalition last year, will capture less than 0.4% of the housing market. That said, we also know that there are about 1.2 million temporary residents in Australia, some of whom have been buying property. The official statistics may well be understating the true impact of foreign buyers crowding out local first-time buyers, as the data is not captured, and people can find ways around the rules. But this is clearly a political announcement designed to neutralise the opposition. And by the way, the government's pledge also includes $5.7 million over 4 years for the ATO's foreign investment compliance team to enforce the ban and to enhance the screening of foreign investment proposals. And an additional $8.9 million over 4 years will be allocated to the Tax Office and the Treasury to audit foreign investors acquiring vacant land. The Coalition's plan also does not prevent foreign investors buying into new apartment towers or housing projects due to the role of offshore funding in encouraging construction. Housing Minister Claire O'Neill said despite the small number of foreign-bought homes, she strongly believed in orientating all efforts towards securing home ownership for young Australians. This isn't a silver bullet, because there is no silver bullet, but this is an important piece of Labor's absolutely massive housing agenda, she said. Well, as previously reported, the massive agenda, with a target of 1.2 million homes over 5 years, is tracking well below the level of approvals required to meet that target, as pressure on the supply and price of building supplies and skilled labour competes with large public sector infrastructure projects. And also, Labour's signature $10 billion social housing fund may have made more than twice its target rate of return in the first year of operation, but of the first 185 projects, totaling 13,700 homes, which were approved for grants last October, just 12 have been finalised, and the first projects have just literally commenced. Grant recipients are mostly community housing providers, plus a smattering of private and government developers, all agreeing to build low-rent housing and to operate for periods of up to 25 years. The fund, which was a Labour commitment of the 2022 federal election, has taken a full term to get up and running, something Housing Minister Claire O'Neill blamed on lengthy delays passing the legislation. With only 12 contracts signed, Housing Australia will need to lift its pace to meet its intention to secure 72 projects in signed contracts by the end of this financial year. Dutton told reporters in Ingham in North Queensland the Albanese government's policies were fueling a mood for change, maintaining his party was the underdog. It's not just a cost of living crisis, it's a housing crisis that the government has created by bringing too many people in and not building enough homes. And that's why people's rates have gone up, he said. Now, according to the ABC, the coalition would be in the best position to form government if an election was held today. That's according to a new estimate from pollster YouGov. YouGov's latest MRP model finds that the Peter Dutton-led coalition would likely win about 73 seats, with a lower estimate of 65 and an upper estimate of 80. A party needs 76 seats to govern in majority. The model estimates there is a 78% chance of a hung parliament and a 19% chance of the coalition winning a majority. The model is not a forecast election result, but it lays out where the imminent election campaign would most hotly contested. It's based on a poll of more than 40,000 Australians, with the MRP, or multi-level regression with post-stratification modelling, the survey's results across the demographics of all 150 electorates. It produces an estimate of the number of seats each party would win in Parliament. The modelling indicates Labour would hold about 66 seats in the next Parliament, with a lower estimate of 59 and an upper estimate of 72. Such a scenario would see Anthony Albanese trying to cobble together the support of nearly every crossbencher to continue as Prime Minister. Dutton said on Sky News that if the coalition exceeded 72 seats and were a number of seats ahead of the Labour Party, it would be unusual for crossbenchers not to offer his party confidence and supply. Australia's housing, of course, is some of the most unaffordable in the world, and soaring property prices will be a key election issue amid a broader cost of living crisis, especially among young voters who fear they'll never be able to buy a home. In Sydney, housing values have jumped almost 70% over the past 10 years, with the median dwelling price well above 1.2 million Aussie dollars, and rents have also been climbing. And according to Demographia, Sydney homes are the world's second least affordable. So there is no surprise then that dissatisfaction with housing in Australia has reached an all-time high last year, and it is an issue which is expected to dominate the general election due by May. These initiatives are a small but important part of our already big and broad housing agenda, which is focused on boosting supply and helping more people into homes, the minister's statement said. Housing is the largest contributor to the rising cost of living in Australia and is set to be a key issue in the upcoming election. The government recently passed housing reforms including a shared equity scheme and tax incentives for developers to ease cost pressures and to achieve building a target of 1.2 million new homes by 2030. The truth is, of course, that throttling back migration to better match the number of new homes being built and reducing the tax breaks for property investors and also those build-to-rent schemes would have a far greater impact. But then, to remind you again, O'Neill all but said she does not want to see prices fall, which they would need to do if more normal affordability ratios were re-established. So this all adds up to more about announceables than real strategic policy change. Now, if you're buying your home in Sydney's contentious market, you don't need to stand alone. This is the time you need to have Edwin Almeida from Ribbon Property Consultants standing alongside you. Buying a property is both challenging and adversarial. The vendor has a professional on their side. Emotions run high, price discovery and price transparency are hard to find, and then there's the wasted time and financial investments that you make. Edwin understands your needs, so why not engage a licensed professional to stand alongside you? With RPC, you know you have experience, knowledge, and master negotiators looking after your best interests. So shoot Ribbon an email at info@ribbonproperty.com.au. And if you use the promo code DFAWTW/Martin, you can get a 10% discount offer. I'm Martin North from Digital Finance Analytics. Many thanks for watching, and I'll see you again next time.